May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 378. A beggar poor at mercy's door lies such a wretch as I. Thou knowest my need is great indeed. Lord, hear me when I cry. Hymn 378.
Thank you. help us to read the Gospel according to St. Luke, part of chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and he was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armour wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, greater than Jonah is here. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and help us to pray. O Lord, we do plead for thy gracious spirit that we might be enabled to worship thee this afternoon. Lord, do come according to thy promise. O Lord, help us now to ask in living faith for the Holy Spirit, as we've read from thy word this afternoon. How much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? O Lord, we do need thy Spirit. We are poor dead things in ourselves. There is no life in us. Oh, we do pray for the life and light, teaching and influence of the Holy Spirit. We might truly feel our need, truly have those right desires kindled in our hearts. Be given that true appetite, that hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we might be blessed with that the hymn writer speaks of, inspire the living faith, which whosoever receives the witness in himself he hath, joyfully believes. Dear Holy Spirit, lead us to Christ. Reveal him to us. Open up to us the blessed mystery of godliness. Take of the things of Jesus and show them to us, that we might be healed. Lord, healed of all our sin and of all its effects upon us. Lord, we pray, grant this day thy blessing to thy people. May it please thee to make this to one and another, to many, we pray, if it would please thee, and set time to favour them. One of the days of the Son of Man upon earth. Lord, they seem to be extremely rare. Lord, the fault is ours. Thine arm is not shortened. Thine ear is not heavy. Our sins have separated between us and thee. Oh, we pray. Come over the mountains of Betha, the mountains of division. Lord, draw us to thyself. Oh, gather us, we pray. Lord, we plead thy word. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Lord, that is where we often seem to be. Wandered so far. But Lord, let us speak even to that place. Lord, may it be so today, that a poor sinner might be blessed to hear that word and to look, and to be gathered once more, to find that by that word, in that word, the Son of Man comes and saves them. Fulfillment of his promise, I will gather, I will bring again that which was scattered. Oh, we pray, Holy Spirit, for thy empowering, the granting of that blessed liberty, the opening of a door of utterance and of hearing, the great trumpet may be blown with a certain sound, and Lord, that it may be heard. The outcasts in the land of Egypt and Assyria, and they shall come and worship the Lord in the holy mount of Jerusalem. O Lord, forgive our sin. Everything which is not of faith is sin. Everything which is of ourself is sin. Lord, forgive it. It is too great a matter for us to measure. That way of deliverance is too great a matter for any to measure. Lord, do discover to thy guilty people the abundance of that mercy, that pardon, that grace, that love, that justification and sanctification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do bless this people. We pray for this church here, as grant them all needed help in their individual paths, in the families, afflictions and sorrows, losses and difficulties. O Lord, do heal according to thy will. Do strengthen. O do bless the aged with that which is vital to thy own people, that spirit's witness that Christ died for their sins. He hath conquered death for them. Oh, we pray, Lord, do glorify thy great name in the lives and in the deaths of thy people. It may be seen in their lives and in their deaths. The benefit, the infinite benefit of the life and the death of Christ. That by that life and death, they may be dead to this world and alive unto God. And by that life and death and resurrection, Lord, they may be favoured to feel as David did when he came down to the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Lord, do appear for any who need thee in a special way at this time. Lord, something now upon them or something before them. Lord, do appear. Help them, Lord, to entreat thee without ceasing. Help them, Lord, to look singly to thee concerning that matter. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. Lord, we pray this church that was grant each member a godly increase in every grace. Help the deacons in their labours. Bless their labours. Hear their prayers. We pray according to thy will for godly additions to the churches. The believers may be added unto the church. We pray for restoration, Lord, in so many places, and Lord, in our own individual cases, what desolations there are. Oh, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Grant us in all these things submission to thy will. Help thy servants. Lord, do pour in on every occasion they venture forth, they may prove their sufficiency be of thee. And Lord, do bless the word to their own souls. Lord. Surely if they go rightly, they have to go as a seeker themselves. Lord, do grant that they may be finders. We pray, do bless the churches. Do help in all the matters. Do appear, Lord, in all the perplexities. Do make every crooked thing straight and every rough place plain. Have mercy on Britain. Lord, overrule, we beseech thee, restrain evil. Direct, Lord. Oh, spare this guilty land. Oh, if it could please thee, overturn the devices of Satan and his agents, to lead this country further away from thee, and to take from thy people the liberties they yet enjoy. Oh, if it would please thee, do preserve them to us. Grant a thankful heart for all thy benefits thou dost daily load us with. Truly it is of thy mercy we are not consumed. Lord, thy long suffering, thy forbearance, thy provision, thy protection. We thank thee for safekeeping in our journeys and all through our lives till now, where thou hast brought one and another through serious illness, serious operations. We would thank thee for thy mercy. Plead that thou wouldst go on to be gracious and grant, according to thy will, that restoring of strength. And Lord, thy blessing. They may know Hezekiah's portion. Surely thy will, if thou didst cause them in it, to do as he did, to turn his face toward the wall, and cry unto his God. By these things men live, in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me, make me to live. Forgive all that one has asked amiss. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 964. If to thee I breathe my prayer, Lord, wilt thou not deign to hear? Shall I seek, but seek in vain? Shall I ask, and not obtain? Hymn 964.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What an infinite wonder it is that the great, the infinite, the holy, the just should speak in such a way as this. If thou, Lord, wert strict to mark iniquity, who should stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. The psalmist goes on to say, my soul doth wait, and in thy word do I hope. And that is the effect of the Lord's voice to his people. I say unto you, the Lord says this unto every one of his people. Has he said it unto you? If you are one of his, if he has not already taught you this, he will teach you that it is only when he says, seek ye my face, that your heart can say, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. By him, we can do all things. We are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. But Jesus will draw near to each one of his people as he did those disciples after his resurrection. Open the eyes of their understanding, that they should understand the scriptures with a believing understanding, that faith that works by love, that faith of which James speaks, those works, faith without works is dead. Remember what the Lord Jesus said later on in this chapter, when that woman said, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. The one who builds his house on the rock, the storm will come, the rain will come, but that one who under the influence of the Spirit does what the Lord says, their house will never fall. Because it is his work, and Christ's work will never fall. Never will that finished work of his fall. Never will a fault be found in it. On this rock, said the Almighty, will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I say unto you, all the liberty that this effects when the Lord speaks, I say unto you. The loosing of the bonds. I remember once in my own experience, feeling to be shut up from asking, shut up from praying. I could take you to the spot now when the lines of that hymn dropped in, the substance of this text. Knock I may at mercy's door, mercy for his sake implore, mercy such as thou wilt give, show it, Lord, and let me live. And what was the effect? I did knock, I did ask, I did obtain. And could I look back and say, oh, it was because I asked, it was because I knocked? No. Lord, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And I say unto you, I think of that word, the Lord's commandments are not grievous. In this commandment here, ask, is there anything grievous? Does the Lord call his people to bring to him a certain toll? Does he ask them to bring to him something? No. Ask, he said. Sets forth the truth. He will be inquired of by the house of Israel. Sets forth the truth that he, the Almighty, the Infinite, hath that in himself to meet every single need of every single one of his people. And it doth please him to give that. And I say unto you, ask. Communion with God. Oh, but what a mediator there is. For there to be communion with God between a holy God and a guilty sinner, there must be a mediator. One God and one mediator. Between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The daysman able to put his hand upon us both, says Job. I say unto you, ask. Oh, that mediator, declaring the will of his Father. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. Ask. The Lord teaches his people what to ask. You only ever really ask of God that which he makes you to feel your need of. And whatever it is he makes you feel your need of, that is the thing concerning which he saith, ask. When Esther ventured into that earthly king, she was asked, what wilt thou? Remember how she went in. I will go in unto the king which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. What did she ask? My life, O king, and the life of my people. That's the first thing I believe the Lord teaches a quickened sinner to ask, life. And Christ hath life to give. No one else has. Why is it a poor sinner needs to ask life? Because they in themselves are dead. And you won't ask for it until you feel dead. Now your unbelieving heart will say, I can't come to God, I'm so dead. Well, while you've been staying there, have you got yourself spiritually lively? No. You feel to sink deeper and deeper into death. Oh, but if the Lord speak or convey to your soul the truth, thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Ask, and it shall be given thee. Ask, and it shall be given thee. That life, that pardon, the forgiveness of sins. Mentioned that word earlier in the psalm, there is forgiveness with thee. Ask, sinner. You've heard many sermons about forgiveness of sins. You've heard many sermons declaring how God forgives sins. Have you ever really asked him to forgive your sins? And has he done it? What was it brought you to ask him? You didn't until you were convinced of them, did you? And you didn't also until there was that living faith, a grain of it raised up in your soul to believe there was forgiveness, there is forgiveness with him. Ask, on what terms? Well, what terms does God set forth? How, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy wine and milk without money, without price. To ask of God, thou when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut thy doors about thee. Now, that's not only a person going into their room and physically shutting the door. No, it's much more than that. Sometimes it is that. But you may spiritually go into your closet, as it were, and shut your door about you while you're in the midst of your daily employment. When the Lord, perhaps just for a moment, oh, you know, and on moments, living prayer, how precious it is. A moment's deliverance from that wretched prayerlessness which is ours by nature. A moment's access, a moment's deliverance from the power of unbelief and from the allure of this world and from the attention, the power of the devil. How precious it is. pray unto thy Father in secret, and thy Father which seeth and heareth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Ask. You know, in this text before us this afternoon is really the sum and substance of that which is vital. Paul says in one of his epistles, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. If we truly be in the faith, it's in this way, in this text. It's not that faith of saying, I believe this doctrine and that doctrine. It's not that faith of saying, I believe to this, belong to this sound church. It's not that faith, I preach this gospel, I listen to this gospel. No. It's that faith in God, which has to do with God, through, in and through the person of the mediator, has to do with him at the throne of grace. My dear friend, do you know anything of the fulfillment of the old promise? There I will meet with thee. From above the mercy seat, from between the cherubims, I will commune with thee. Ask, and it shall be given thee. Oh, worthiness does not come into it. Oh, it's the pride of our hearts, isn't it? It's one of the devices of the adversary to keep a sinner from the throne of grace. And you know, it's lies. It's lies, it's not the truth. When you feel yourself unworthy to go to the throne of grace, does God say you're unworthy? Where will you find it in his word? That your condition is an unworthy condition to approach his throne of grace. You'll not find it. Ask. Whatever condition, all are unworthy. All are unworthy. Oh, it's the pride of our hearts, isn't it? To suppose, oh, if I had something to bring to Jesus, then he would give me an answer. If I had a soft heart to bring to him, then he would bless me. If I had many heartfelt confessions to bring to him, then he would forgive me. Ask. Oh, you that long for a broken heart, ask, and it shall be given thee. A broken heart is a gospel gift. A broken heart is the effect of Christ's death at Calvary. You'll never find a broken heart anywhere else. The law can't break it. No, there isn't anything in the law to break a sinner's hard heart. Ask, and it shall be given thee. Oh, this is the glory that excelleth the law. The Lord uses his law to make a sinner know what they need. But he saith, as the hymn writer puts it, pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. Look to Jesus' kind of strong pity, join with power. Ask, oh, you sinners here this afternoon, that are 500 pence, 5,000 pence, 5,000,000 pence debtors. Ask, saith the Lord, and it shall be given thee. You who are head over heels in debt, you who have broken every one of the Lord's commands, you who haven't in your nature any least desire to do his will or capability to do it. You haven't in you one grain of living faith of yourself. You have not within you any spiritual life, whatever. I say unto you, ask. You see, it's those poor he speaks to. Hannah said in her song of thanksgiving, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and lifteth up the pillars of the earth of the Lord. He raiseth up the beggar from the dunghill to set him among princes. How? How was it with Hannah? Every one of the Lord's people that come to rightly and blessedly sing the song of thanksgiving come by it the same way as Hannah came by it. A path of sorrow. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. Barren woman. But in her, she had that general providential favour of children. Hannah was the Lord's own child. Hannah sets forth the Lord's bride. Her children are to come directly from him by special gift. He maketh a barren woman. Ah, you are writing bitter things against yourself this afternoon because you're a barren woman. Oh, that I could believe. Oh, that I could love. Oh, that I could serve God. Oh, that I knew him. Oh, that I was a real Christian. Oh, that I could bring forth fruit. More the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Oh, the fruit of these desolate ones who aren't the wife of Christ. That's the desolate one. What fruit they seem to bring forth. And the poor child of God is barren. They can't believe like turning on a tap. They can't pray, like some people say, well, whatever trouble comes upon us, at least we can pray. They can't. But all these are the ones that know the blessing. He lifteth up the poor from the dust, raiseth a beggar from the dunghill to set him among princes. Ask. And it should be given thee. The Lord help me to speak a little further concerning who it is that saith, ask. The Son of God, Almighty, Infinite. This is vital, isn't it? Nor could I upon him rely unless I was sure he were God. Ask the Almighty. You say, oh, what I need. I can't really describe. What I need, I certainly can't measure. And you come into those places and you don't know what to pray for. Oh, what a mercy. The one who sits upon the throne of grace knows before his people ask what they really need. And that one that comes, you see, it's often set forth in the prayers, the short prayers of the Word of God. Do we not see in the way they express their petition that they had that single eye of faith that referred the whole of it unto God. Lord, help me. the woman whose daughter was vexed with the devil. Lord, help me. Ask. Ah, your case this afternoon, sinner. The Lord does not need you to understand it. The case that you don't understand, the need you don't understand, the depths of your depravity, the depths of your ruined condition, and the heights of what your soul hardly believes and yet cannot completely discount. Ask. Ask. Lord, remember me with a favour thou bearest unto thy people. Oh, visit me with thy salvation. The one then who is asked, oh, his kindness, and then his intercession. When a sinner asks in Christ's name, God does not see that sinner in all their filth and unworthiness. He doesn't hear that sinner's sins in their prayers. Their prayers are presented in the merits of the one who they ask, his name. Since I can hardly therefore bear what in myself I see, how foul and black must I appear, most holy God, to me? But since my Saviour stands between, in garments dyed in blood, 'tis he instead of me is seen as I approach to God. You say, oh, you're now on high ground. My dear friend, no lower ground will do. Does the Lord, in calling his people to pray, does he, in bidding them ask, say, don't ask too much. Don't ask too great a favour. Only ask for little favours. No, he does not. It is in his heart to give them not half the kingdom, as that king said he would give to Esther, but the whole of the kingdom. Fear not, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Ask, and it shall be given you. The intercession then, in asking. Oh, my dear friend, what need the Lord's tried people have, what need poor sinners have of a view of this, a glimpse of this mediator, this intercessor. Paul says, seeing then that we have such an high priest, seeing then. That's what brings a sinner to ask. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy. The devil says, and your wicked heart says, no, we must be careful. We must not presume. And so you get ensnared in what dear Bunyan calls that white devil, unbelief. Open thy mouth wide, said the Lord, and I will fill it. Ask, and it shall be given thee. Oh, the love of this one, unto whom these petitions are made. Oh, did that, by the Spirit's revelation, a glimpse of the love of Christ, did that ever bring forth from your heart a petition to him? I tell you, if that didn't, nothing will. then how does Christ make known his love? By what he says, by what he shows of what he's done. You see, I believe the Lord's people are brought to this regarding this love of Christ when they, by living faith, get a glimpse of him in his love. Oh, that's my only hope, that the Saviour with such love as he hath will in love save me. Love is as strong as death. You know, every answer to prayer, every one of these answers the Lord speaks of here, every one of these givings is love. That's at the root of it. Nothing less than love. Nothing less than love would move the Lord to give. Nothing less than love would move him to call them to ask him. It was love that moved the Saviour to die, and it was that going of the Saviour to death, to the grave, that brings the answer to every one of these askings. When the Lord says it will be given thee, it doesn't mean these things are cheap. No, they're costly. What is the cost of every answer to one of these askings? View him prostrate in the garden. View him crowned with thorns. View him mocked, spat upon, scourged. View him crucified between those two thieves. Hear him crying out, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Hear him crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hear him cry out, it is finished. And that is how every one of these answers to this asking comes down to a poor sinner. And so this, I believe, is above all else what the Lord will bring his people to ask of Christ. Doesn't the hymn writer, in one of those hymns, it's around about 150, I believe, in the book, speak of that one wish, the one thing that he was brought to ask, that he might be led to Gethsemane and led on to Calvary to see Jesus beneath his sins. And they're led on. The hymn writer doesn't speak of this, but I may speak of it in speaking of what the desire of this soul is concerning the work of Christ, to be led on to see him rise from that tomb. Victorious, ask, and it shall be given thee. My dear friend, it's on this theme that I would dwell for a moment. It's so vital with regard to this asking and receiving. Oh, what did Jesus receive from his people to make him go to Calvary? What help did Jesus receive from his people in his sufferings? They all forsook him and fled. Why was that? Because they were men. Because they could not help him. Because they could not enter into that matter. The flesh alone could not enter into that matter, redemption. Only Christ could enter into the Holy of Holies. Only that Lamb without blemish and without spot. And you see, I would direct your thoughts now, having spoken like that, with regard to this word, ask, and it shall be given thee. I did not require the help of man to go to Calvary. Who did I die for at Calvary? for love of whom a rebel race that mocked and trampled on his blood. You that feel to be yourself a rebel. Oh, you say, how could I ask Jesus when I'm such a rebel against him? Well, he died for rebels. He's exalted, he has ascended on high, having led captivity captive and received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Ask, and it shall be given you. Yes, it shall be given you. Freely given. Without money. Not in exchange for something from you. Not the Lord forgiving you because you've come so softly. But Lord forgiving you because you've come just as you are. At his word. And beg, Lord, save me for thy name's sake. Given freely, but then given. Put in your possession. Not taken. We're very much inclined to theft. But if we're the Lord's people, he won't have it. The fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. It may be scripture. But if it is not scripture spoken to us by God himself and applied to us by the Spirit, with regard to salvation, it's wood, hay and stubble. Consider it, my dear friend, in the light of this command of the Lord, ask and it shall be given thee. How much of your religion have you received in this way? You've got a lot to lose. I'll bring the third party, said, through the fire. That which the Lord gives you, he'll never take away. You won't always have the felt possession of it. One day you will. But here below you won't always have the felt possession of it, but he'll never actually take it from you. And it shall be given you. Oh, that pardon given. That life given. That faith given. That love given. That broken heart given. That unfolding of the scripture given. That deliverance given. Oh, that promise given. How does the Lord give these things? He gives them, firstly, by speaking them. How precious is a word from the Lord. A word with power from him. A word in season. Valuable, precious, enduring, suitable, exactly fit in your case, and not only fit in your case now, but the Lord knowing all that's before you. How often we prove that. In what the Lord speaks to us. It's not until he unfolds the path he knew we would have to walk do we see the full reason why he spoke in the way he did to us. It shall be given you. Yes. Willingly given. Not niggardly. It shall be given you. I ask no money, I must keep emphasizing this. I ask no money, saith the Lord. Bring no money, price or all. Mercy never can be bought. Grace is free and all the lambs. He also gives. As he gives his Holy Spirit to unfold the scripture. And he went on to unfold this in his following words, did he not, regarding the Spirit? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Oh, how we do need the Holy Spirit. Essential. There's no saving religion, there's no communion with God, there's no life, there's no understanding, there's no prayer, there's no contrition, there's nothing. There's no believing views of Christ without the Holy Spirit. When he gives the Holy Spirit, this is known by the effect of the Spirit. When he is come, he'll convince the world of sin. Oh, you who this afternoon feel, oh, I'm so deficient in this respect. I know I do not mourn over my sins. I know I'm not convinced of my sins as I should be. When he is come, he will convince the world of sin. Ask, and it shall be given thee. Oh, you who know not how to pray, the Spirit helpeth their infirmities with groanings which cannot be uttered. And you that search, peer, study, listen intently to sermons, you can't see Christ. Ask and it shall be given thee. Oh, it's only by this gift of the Holy Spirit a sinner sees Christ. When he is come, he will take of mine and shall show it unto you. Oh, when Christ shines out of the page of Scripture as you read it. Oh, the Holy Spirit takes one word, one phrase perhaps, in a sermon and gives you a glimpse of Christ in it that melts your heart down and draws your heart out to him and delivers you, sets you free. It may only be momentary, but what a precious moment that is to have a moment's glimpse of Christ that for a moment delivers you from your unbelief, the bondage of your flesh, the assaults of the adversary. Ask, and it shall be given you. Oh, that much needed grace, well, whatever it be. Ask, and it shall be given you. Oh, those of you this afternoon, and you've come to the house of God with great burdens, where have you been enabled to take those burdens? Oh, what happens when we try to carry the burdens the Lord has laid upon us? We cannot. They crush us. We cannot get on with them. Those perplexities, those difficulties. What happens when we try to put them right? They get more wrong. Those mysterious things in your life's pathway. What happens when we try to unravel them and interpret them? They get darker and darker and darker. Ask. You may go to your fellow men. You may talk it over with your husband or your wife, your mother or your father, or your friend, your deacon, your minister, your pastor. What a laborious, long journey we take. to try to get matters resolved, and they never will get resolved that way. Ask, and it shall be given thee. Do not interpretations belong unto God? Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain? Who says, is it the minister? Is it the pastor? Is it your friends? Is it them that says, I will make all my mountains away? Is it them who says, I will make every crooked thing straight and every rough place plain? Does God promise you, child of God, that your fellow people will help you? No. He says, fear not, worm Jacob, I will help thee, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Ask. You see, it comes to this, doesn't it? Long we either slight or doubt him, till when all the means we've tried prove we cannot do without him, then at last to him we cry. Ask. Oh, but then, in meditation upon this word, and really that which led me to it, in my own experience this morning as I woke, oh, the failing sense of being so far from God. The failing sense of having wandered so far from him, sinned so grievously against him. Oh, ask. Has he not said, I will heal all their backslidings? My dear friend, no one else will. You perhaps think, well, if I return from my backsliding, then the Lord will heal me. But the Lord says more than that, because he knows you never will return of yourself from your backslidings. You never can, you cannot. That's the point. You cannot return from your backslidings. The church felt it, didn't they? Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Ask and hear. This healing of all your backslidings, that shall be given you. Oh, but when the Lord gives you some view of your backslidings and the desolation of your heart, when he gives you to realise just how desolate spiritually you are, just how far you've gone, just how far you've left him in the way he reproves his people of somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Ask, Lord, heal my backsliding. Lord, turn me. Lord, this torrent of my sin, this well of my flesh, this natural bent of my very being. Overcome it for me. Ask, and it shall be given you. Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Tea will be served shortly after the close of the service on the right-hand side of the chapel. Let us close with hymn 963. Blessed Spirit from above, teach, oh teach me how to pray. Fill my soul with heavenly love. Lead me the celestial way. Hymn 963.
To us thy word, we thank thee for it. Do forgive that which has been amiss, blot it out. and keep us and help us. Do it as thy will. Gather us again later in thy name. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.